crisp one today. It's a crisp day, if you know what I mean. I don't even know what I mean, so I don't know how you would know what I mean, but...
Do you have, like, an apple on a you know, early spring day sort of thing? Like, the wind's whipping around?
Actually, I haven't had an apple today. I eat apples almost... Oh, no, I had like, half an apple.
Oh, God.
Today.
Okay, that's good. I was going to say, off in the distance, you hear the knocking of a door of a call-in doctor.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you hear my front door open in the background. Grant!
A stethoscope dangling off his neck. You see lights flashing. Tongue depressors clatter to the ground. It's time for your checkup, Grant. Someone forgot their apple.
It makes me think of something. I saw these tongue depressors, and they were in a big box, and they were all labeled senior tongue depressors. So that begs the question, what is a non-senior tongue depressor? Because they were the big, thick popsicle sticks that I think of as being tongue depressors.
Yeah.
So what are, like,
you
normal
would imagine
popsicle
that,
sticks?
That there would be junior ones would be the main label for, like, little kids.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. Maybe it's for, when you were saying tongue depressor, what came to mind was, randomly, my YouTube started suggesting various compilations of Parks and Rec scenes.
Oh, God.
And there is a scene where Ron is in the doctor's office, and the doctor, like, puts a tongue depressor on his tongue, and he licks it, and he's like, birch? You could have at least gone with maple.
Yeah.
So maybe the senior tongue depressors are high-quality wood for the discerning old-fashioned men who remember when tongue depressors were more than just cheap faux cardboard, essentially.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do have good news for you.
Okay.
Well, I have good news for me that I'm going to share with you.
Okay.
I was worried. So for the listener, we'll pull back the curtain here a little bit. Grant and I have been recording episodes strategically in advance.
Oh. Whoa.
You won't know which ones, but at least this one might be. But you'll never know. Anyway, because I'm going to be out and about. On and off, and I was worried that I was gonna have, not worried, but I was aware that I was likely gonna have to do a lot of editing on my iPad, which is, like, fine. I can do it. I have a workflow for that now, but I wasn't, like, really looking forward to it. It's not very convenient to do that. But then just the other day, I was like, let me see if the software that I use on my main computer has been updated for the laptop that I'm planning on bringing with me. Because it's a pretty cross-compatible piece of software, but there is something, you know, particular about the laptop that I'm planning on bringing with me that it hasn't really been a good call to try and edit a podcast on it. And sure enough, this morning, I checked and there was an update for it, and I gave it a little trial run on an old episode, and everything seems to be working. So I am happy that I can edit in a more comfortable fashion, which means that the net result is people probably won't actually notice which episodes are done a certain way, because when I edit on my iPad, I definitely am lazier, because it's just way more tedious to do the more fine-grained control that I would normally like.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
The sort of micro-adjournment, as one might say.
Some might say that, yes. Hopefully not very many above the age of 7, but...
Okay.
So what I really wanted to do to start this show, I wanted to really throw a curveball at you, but a positive one.
Oh.
I need you to watch this video.
Am I supposed to try to hit it, or am I supposed to try to dodge it?
If you can dodge a video, you can dodge a ball.
Okay.
But don't dodge this video, just watch it. Watch it and let it hit you straight in the face.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. It came out a few days ago, and I think it's fantastic, and I just want you to see it and experience it with me, okay?
Oh.
Let me know when you started it.
Sorry, what was that?
Let me know when you started it.
Oh, sorry, the Chipotle ad was really loud. I'll let you know when it's over. It's got like 8 seconds left. Oh, the new quesadilla. It's a whole new way to Chipotle, Mark.
Oh, wow.
Oh, started.
Okay.
When we started this band, our mom insisted that we include Dale. So now we're stuck with someone who brags about suits he got on sale. It's like Dale, we can buy at full price.
Actually, our budget isn't that good this year. And he's always on my case about the tweet things I buy. He calls them impractical, even though they're super fly. It's like, can't you see our tweet style is not?
I just think all the materials might be
perfect, Dale.
Wowza. That was an experience.
So,
I was so certain that this was your way of telling me that you're going to turn the podcast like solo or something.
Oh, yeah, totally. No. I don't know. I just loved that. Obviously, Brian David Gilbert is not for everyone, but I feel like of all the things that he's made, a single person playing four people in a music video is a really good one to get in on the ground floor of.
Yeah.
It's just so well done where you have like the ability to embody four completely different like boy band characters like that is really awesome.
Mm-hmm. I have to admit, I was kind of bothered by the fact that you're very right. They're all like four boy band characters, but they seem like boy band characters. They'll all be in different bands.
But if you look at boy bands from like the late 90s, like boy bands were pretty all over the place. It's not like K-pop of today where they're all like copy paste of each other with different vocal ranges.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was just awesome. And so my favorite technical detail in it, which I think is awesome, is Dale, his parts mm-hmm. were recorded normally.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the other parts, he filmed it while singing back to a backing track that was playing at 125%, and then slowing that video down to 80%, which gave it like that like kind of slow motiony like late 90s early 2000s music video feel, except for Dale, who was just dead on it, like. To make it feel even more out of place.
Yep. That's so weird.
It's just so lovely. I've watched it so many times. I find it so delightful.
Oh my gosh.
and Ryan kind of went the whole way. He meant to have this up like a week or two ago and then instead figured, you know what? I want to turn this into a whole thing. So that like twin squared, however it's pronounced, is an actual artist on Spotify with this one track attributed to them.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so you can just like get the audio directly on Spotify. Although the audio notably does not have the blender noise during the bridge.
Mm.
So you get the full take of Dale's thing without a blender,
mm-hmm.
which is wonderful.
Wow, so Mark. You're really on another level tonight. I gotta get on your level here.
It's just so wonderful. It's great. I'm not gonna put in the full like 3.5 minutes of our reaction in the podcast, but I will put in a little clip of what the song is so that you can judge for yourself if you think that the song slaps, which it obviously does.
Slaps. What a word to describe music. I gotta admit, it's not one of my favorites, but slaps. Jeez. Like, why does slaps mean, like, it means good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it means that it's gotta get hooked to it. That's how I view it as.
I'm trying to just, like, figure out where that comes from. Like, it slaps. Like,
I have no idea. All I can say is the association that it has in my mind is twofold. In a non-musical sense, it's the sensation of like, you know, slapping it, being slapped in the face is a bit aggressive, but like, that's like one sort of positive connotation of like that it has that like positive effect of like, it just kind of hits you. Like, as in like it hits you, you know?
Oh, okay. I thought you were, sorry. I was reading you wrong there.
Clearly. But the other slightly more musical connotation that I have, if only because it's the only other, like, musical usage of the term slap, is, like, slap bass.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just typically, if you're ever listening to a song that has slap bass, it's particularly funky.
Mm-hmm.
So that's funky the town. other connotation that I have for it.
Yeah.
So, wow. In either case, I highly recommend check out the song. You don't even have to listen to the video, just listen to the song. It's awesome. But the video definitely makes it even better.
The video, I have to say, is quite well made.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent music video.
When that video released a couple days ago, because of just the circle of internet people that I run in, I saw a lot of people who I normally wouldn't expect also coming across this video.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people wanting way more backstory to this whole setup. People, you know, saying that Dale should really break off and will become the successful solo artist of the group, etc., etc.
Oh, God. Is he going to be the JT?
That's right.
Ooh, and then he's going to have...
The financially stable JT.
He's going to become a movie star and make movies about casual sex. Wasn't Justin Timberlake in one of those movies?
I don't know. I don't know what movies you're referring to.
Like one of the, like, Friends with Benefits movies or whatever.
Well, probably. I don't know.
Let's look at what movies he's been in. Maybe I'm just full of
crap. He was in Palmer. Friends with Benefits, indeed, with, what's her face? That 70s show. Mila Kunis?
Yeah.
Apparently he was in Trolls.
Oh, and he was in Time. I forgot about that.
I don't know that one.
It's not a super solid movie. It's bizarre.
Gotcha. 36% on Rotten Tomatoes. Nice.
Is what it is.
6.7 on IMDb, though.
Yo, tomatoes or percent?
6.7 out of 10 on IMDb. Okay. 36% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Quick, without looking, do you know how tall Justin Timberlake is?
6'1".
Dang.
Am I right?
Spot on.
Wait, am I actually right or are you just messing with me?
No, that's what Google tells me. That he is 6'1".
Heck yeah.
Nicely done.
I'm a wizard. Nice. Put me at a carnival and have me guess people's heights.
That sounds like fun.
Or is it their weight? Wait, which one do you guess at carnivals?
Typically the weight.
Oh,
I mean, I don't think they do that anymore.
Do they have his weight online? Can I guess that?
What I was thinking of was the things that I hate are the radar gun things where they have you throw two baseballs and you throw one and then they say, all right, if you can guess your next throw, then you get whatever prize if you can guess the speed of your next throw. And it's so clearly rigged because there'll be like a 20-mile-an-hour difference between the first and second throws or something ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like whenever I went to one of those, I was like, I just want a straight up and down answer of how hard I throw. Like, that's what I'm interested in because I don't know.
Then freaking befriend a police officer like normal people.
That's right.
Let you use their radar gun. There we go. That was hard to get out.
It was so hard to get out that I'm still sitting here, like, processing, making sure that you said it correctly. Pretty sure you did.
I'm pretty sure I did. Justin Timberlake was in a lot of movies between, like, 2010 and 2013.
You know, we all get our 15 minutes of fame.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Jesus. Somebody was a busy boy.
Well, that was before 9? Superhero movies became the only genre.
Yeah. Is that the only genre now?
It's either superhero movies or psychological horror. I'm pretty sure those are the main two genres these days.
What about... No, there's all those like biopics or whatever. Do those count? Mm,
okay, that's fair.
But yeah, I get what you're saying.
What do you think we get our 15 minutes of fame?
Maybe we've already had it.
Yeah? What was your 15 minutes of fame?
I don't know. Actually, let me think back. I'm sure I'm going to figure it out. Give me a sec. In the meantime, what were yours?
I would say I had a couple minutes when I got to go on the field at the Metrodome for a Twins game for a contest that I won at Great Clips. I got to go stand on the pitcher's mound during the national anthem and chit-chat with a major league pitcher. So a couple minutes spent there. I'm sure you could consider at least one musical thing that I did in high school probably counts towards my small amount of fame.
Yeah.
One of the dumb things that, you know, it's probably maybe we share our some minutes of fame from the Whistling Choir or something like that.
Just going to say that, Whistling Choir.
Yeah, just like Magic Theater in general, all your cameos in the dumb videos that Aaron and I made.
Yes.
I miss those dumb videos.
Well, like, they still exist.
Well, I know, but...
Do you miss making them, or do you miss...
Yeah, like... yeah, I miss making them.
Okay, there we go.
Like,
there we go.
Dumb podcasts are fun, but they are lacking in just a little bit of higher level absurdity that can be achieved when you have a video camera and a car, and not a lot of shame.
Whoa, WTF, bruh.
What?
First question, are you insinuating this is dumb? Second question, are you insinuating that I'm not being absurd enough? Because I can up it.
I'm not insinuating anything. I am just saying that there are certain limitations to the way that we podcast. Walls that we've built up ourselves. Or perhaps I've built up for you.
There we go. There we freaking go.
As opposed to more one-off things that were made for Magic Theater and the like.
Yeah.
I mean, I made a video in junior... I think it was junior year of high school. Yeah, it was junior year of high school. We made a video for AP Comp. We had to do a media project about some word. We each got a word. I don't even remember what the category of words were, but I know that ours was pathos. And I know that I think it was like Patrick and his group. I forget who. I think it was Patrick and Basil and a couple other people. Ryan Hansen, maybe. They got catharsis. And most people made a video. Some people did other things. I think one group put on a puppet show. But we made a video about pathos, and ours took place in a prison.
God.
And so we got to make a nice soap bar joke that made our teacher raise his eyebrows at us as it was happening until the joke concluded with, so what happened was...
this is such a Grant story right now.
It is. You're rubbing off on me.
I was holding back an insult, and the story was just turning into too much of a Grant story. I couldn't keep my mouth quiet.
So we were making a video about pathos for a school project, and the idea behind it was... A sad person who is the main character of our video kept getting himself into very bad situations, resulting with him being in prison. And at one point while he's in prison, he's taking a shower, as one does. And he's in our main character, played by some person. I honestly forget his name. He was in the shower, and so was Max. The shower being everyone fully clothed in a hallway by the band room. And...
Classic place to shower.
And our shower, or our bar of soap was an eraser. And our main character drops it, and as the music intensifies and we zoom in on Max getting closer and sort of reaching around him as our main character goes down to pick up the bar of soap, when this was presented in class, teacher's eyebrows rise up and he gets quite a grimace on his face as the scene proceeds until it concludes with Max quickly picking up the bar of soap and saying, "Hey, seems like you dropped this, buddy." And then the scene cuts.
You know why the teacher was grimacing, right? He thought he was about to lose his job.
Oh, I know. I mean, he wouldn't have lost his job, but we would have lost our grade.
He certainly could have lost his job.
But yeah, the kinds of projects that I did in high school... I don't even know, like, I think it was because we didn't care how bad they turned out. You know, there's no expectation of real quality in high school, that we just kind of let whatever happen the way that it went. It was all very by the seat of our pants, it felt like, most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But we did it.
I'm going to backtrack here to the start of that story.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, on this podcast, we need and I'm just going to say this, and I don't actually expect you to put it in because it's just more editing work, and I know that I wouldn't be willing to help with it or anything. We need, a nerd alert warning for, when we're about to say something, obnoxiously, stupidly nerdy or something. Back when I was in AP Comp, we made a movie about pathos. You're just like, wowza, buddy.
Well, if the point of the story was to talk about pathos at all, then I would do such a nerd alert, but that was not the point of the story whatsoever. It was just window dressing.
Yeah, but you still said it when it still sounded nerdy, because we didn't have the rest of the story yet to notice that it wasn't as nerdy.
Yeah, but that's why you have to... This is like good storytelling in TV or movies, where you start and you don't know what the situation is because you haven't watched the entire thing yet. That's how stories work. You gain information as you go along.
Yeah, but if there's something funny that happens in a story that's funny initially, but then something later that happens that makes it seem dark, you still laugh at the funny thing the first time because you don't notice that it's dark yet.
I don't see how that's relevant.
Because it was still a nerdy thing to say because the context that made it less nerdy.
It's not a nerdy thing
wasn't
to say.
Back when I was in high school in AP Comp, come on.
I don't need another podcast in my life with someone doing a nerd voice. This is unhelpful. Coming from you, especially.
Do you already have a podcast where someone does a nerd voice?
Well, I don't. It's not one that I do. It's one that I've listened to.
Oh.
But the difference is that one of them is a nerd and one of them isn't a nerd. But when it's the two of us, when it's you going up against me, it doesn't really hold much water.
What do you mean it doesn't hold much water?
You have a degree in chemistry.
I'm not saying... I never claimed that I wasn't nerdy. I'm actually more qualified to call you out when you're being extra nerdy because I am nerdy. Mm. Objectively speaking. Thus, my opinion holds more water.
So you're saying that nerds... So you're saying that nerds should self-bully each other about
Heck
being
yes.
nerds.
Heck yes. It'll protect them from the bigger real bullies.
Oh yeah,
if someone's already
bullying right.
about something, it's over.
That's right.
That's why people make fun of themselves.
That's right.
You
beat
can't
your
make fun of
so,
someone if
beat your kids so they can always win in a fight.
No, so no one else can beat them up. That's so they can win in a fight. Just no one else can beat them up if they're already
yeah, not getting
dead.
Beat up, it means winning in a fight.
Wow, that was dark. Okay, so we got Liberty Meadows by Frank Cho for this week. Oh my god. Oh, wait, no, it's not about fights. Okay. For a second, I saw the big onomatopoeia.
That's such a mess of a show.
I didn't know when to move on, and then I looked at the time, and I was like, oh, yikes, boys. Let's just get going here, because we're going down a rabbit hole.
Well, we do have at least 4 minutes to play with of us just watching a video.
Okay. That's still, we're still pretty far.
Right.
Anyway, what even are these characters? I'm going to call them character one and character two. Character one, I think, is some sort of humanoid duck or something, and character two is a wiener dog, but I'm not going to call them that because I don't know what they are. Or we're going to call them number one and number two. Let's go with that. Number two is lying. Okay, the dog, it's clearly a dog. The dog is lying on his back with his front paws behind his neck, going woof. Well, there is a duck kneeling, I guess we're calling him duck. That was a whole pointless thing because I just ignored my own system. The duck is kneeling at his lower paws, whatever, kneeling on them, saying, We have to tighten up your stomach and keep you trim for that wiener dog race. Ah, I should have read the freaking comic first. Wowza, this is a train wreck. For that wiener dog race. Here, I'll hold your feet while you crunch out those sit-ups. Now we got Woof. That's where the Woof comes in. Man, the dog does a sit-up. The two animals' heads collide. Bonk! And the duck goes rolling over backwards as the wiener dog smacks back to the floor. With stars coming out of his head, the duck says, "I think that's enough sit-ups for today. Take five, Oscar." Oscar laying back with stars coming out of his head as well. Woof. Wow, this is really one of those times I should have read the comic ahead of time.
I like how all I needed to do to make this comic reading as bad as possible was to tell a story that could only be vaguely described as Grant-like, and Grant's like, just hold my beer. There's only one Grant in this podcast.
Yeah, not even hold my beer, like, hold my case of beer.
Hold my glass of water, I have a story to tell.
Yikes. I think that was potentially the single worst reading of a comic I have ever done on the podcast. Do you agree?
Go that far. There have been 140 some other readings of a comic, Grant. I can't say that early on you did not do far worse. Because remember, I have put in a lot of effort to give you some pretty easy comics to read. For the most part, we've each gone on to mostly like 1 to 2 panel comics. We used to give each other so much work to do on these comics.
Yeah, but that's like reading. Like, that's just like a lot of manual labor, not like...
I think there's one in my head right now that I think is the one that you probably did the worst on. I'm going to send you the comic right now in Skype.
Okay.
The one that I think you probably did the worst on.
Oh, that was pretty bad. But wait, let me look at it again.
But this was about 2 years ago, so.
Like, that was really bad, but was it as bad as this?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and listen, but I don't really care. For listeners, feel free to tweet at us. What I'm referring to is episode 57, Subspecies of Beard, and Grant's reading of my selection of dinosaur comics. In fact, in the show notes, I specifically said that I brought this comic, and Grant is not very pleased about it. After a tough read and Mark explaining jokes...
Like, I feel like the biggest issue with that one was, like, just I didn't get it.
I know.
This one, I got it. It was like, I think it was worse because
this was poor execution on one that could have been totally fine.
Yeah, I could have nailed it.
That's
fair. If I'd spent 5 seconds skimming it,
I would have nailed it. It might be the worst out of ones that you have a fair shot at.
Yeah.
I think. But I mean, again, I'd have to check some others, but it's probably safe to say.
It's like I'm diving in the Olympics and I just do a straight up like dive, like start standing up and then go to head first. And I just like belly flopped it versus like someone doing all these like crazy twists and shit stuff and messing that up. Like,
this is so disappointing. I'm just kind of clicking through some old comics and I'm just realizing that comics don't stay on Go Comics forever. I just randomly clicked on one and the link is broken because the comic doesn't exist on Go Comics anymore.
What?
So hopefully you did a good job of describing this one because no one will ever see it again.
We need to start officially licensing these comics or something. We should build our own Go Comics. No, we shouldn't do that.
My God.
And that's by we only mean Mark.
Exactly.
And all of his infinite free time because he has zero hobbies.
We don't need merchandise. We need an online comic service.
Okay, we should actually make merch. That'd be fun.
Well, maybe if we get... I won't put a number on the number of listeners that I feel like we might need to get, but...
Well, when we hit, 5 million, like, we're already halfway there, but...
Yeah, something like that. Let's call it when we don't have to pay for hosting the podcast episodes.
Okay.
I feel like that's a good break-even point for most podcasts before they should consider merchandise. Anyway, on to the point of this comic...
Oh my God. I forgot we're doing a podcast and we have a system that we have to follow. What the heck are we talking about?
Okay, so the question that I had for you today, Grant, do you consider yourself a competitive person?
That is an Excellent question, Senor Mark.
Actually, I want to rephrase it.
Okay.
Okay. So what I meant to ask was, on a scale of 1 to more than Mark, how competitive are you?
Where does more than Mark come in, like, the typical number line?
That was meant to be a joke, as in, if you were competitive, then of course you would say you're more competitive than Mark. If you were really maximum competitive.
I feel like you're really competitive. Like, hey. Really competitive.
That's not true. Probably.
We'll see what Aaron thinks.
I will only accept feedback on that via tweet, Aaron. I will not listen to it in person.
Aaron, you can text me. That's fine. I'm going to go with, like, it's situational. It's either, like, 1 to 2 or, like, 6 to 7.
Okay, that's good, because that's kind of what I anticipated, that there would be certain things that would kickstart your competitive gear.
I'm going to revise my numbers to, like, 4.5 to 5.5.
At the top
or
end?
1 to 2, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I still kind of figured that that's what it would be with you. So what are some of the things that get you into, you know, 4.5 to 5th gear?
Things that I feel like I'm good at.
Okay. Such as? I'm sure, obviously, I could list many things, but I'm interested to hear from you.
Ooh, like, I'm rethinking my wording so I don't swear as much. Building crummy contraptions to accomplish stupid tasks, for the purpose of, like, winning a competition by accomplishing that task the best. For example, like catapult building competitions, or like,
yeah, egg drop.
Like, yeah, egg drop. Like, oh, who can build the tallest tower with, like, a single piece of paper, a popsicle stick, and someone's thumb, like, stuff like that.
Did you ever do Destination Imagination?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Wait, have we talked about this? I talked about it with someone recently.
We haven't talked about it recently. I would be surprised if we haven't talked about it ever, but I don't remember anything specific.
Okay. It was a glorious time in my life. You know what? That's probably when I peaked. That was like, oh, that was awesome. I was so ripped back then. One of the listeners of the podcast will think that's a hilarious comment. So we'll just leave that at that.
How old were you when you were doing DI?
Elementary school aged.
Okay, cool. I wasn't sure if I just didn't know if you did it any further than that. I think I did it for like 1 year, maybe 1.5 years, kind of in elementary school as well.
We freaking won some stuff too, which was great.
Dang, we did not.
Yeah, I reminisced with one of my former teammates about it, and we got third place, which we think was the best possible thing, because we still have the memory of winning something without having the obligation of having to go on and do more stuff.
Yep, agreed. Yeah, that's why, like, I remember, did you guys, because I know you went to a different middle school, and I never remember if different middle schools did this, but did your middle school participate in History Day?
You bet your britches we did, and I won that too.
Okay.
So, because of a stupid contraption I made.
What? did you do something in addition to your poster board or something?
No, I just had a unique feature of my poster board that I think the judges were just enamored with. Because it actually clearly took effort and was interactive, which was much better than I think most middle schoolers who didn't care about the project at all did.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, and also, like, winning at any level for a poster board, it's like,
okay,
easier in a, no, I'm saying that it's like easier in a sense because there's more people doing that, but in another sense, it's actually kind of hard because, like, it's harder to differentiate yourself.
Yeah.
I think, I think that it's way more impressive to move on using a poster board. Like, I did the individual movie version. Category. So, oh. I, in terms of the people in the school, I was competing against like 8 people. And like not many people did it. And, like, it was pretty easy for me to move on. I'm still proud that I did. Like, you know, I went on to regionals and got honorable mention, which, similarly to you, I felt like was awesome. I got to, like, go up in front of everybody that I actually cared about and be like, hey, you won this thing. And then I got to go off to some other school with a bunch of people that I don't care about. And then I got handed a ribbon being like, hey, you did pretty well. And I never had to do anything else. It was great.
I think another thing that helped me is that I focused my thing on something that none of the people knew about. Which I think was nice. It was a bizarre topic.
What was your bizarre topic?
Somebody named Doris Miller, who is a man, despite what most people would
Doris
assume.
The Explorer?
No, Doris... Wait. Maybe Miller's not the right name. No, Doris Miller. Sorry.
A cook.
I have a reference book that I used when I'm... Sorry. One sec. I need to stop looking away from the microphone. Okay. I was putting a book back on the bookshelf because I had a reference book that I used when I did the project that I purchased or my mother purchased for me. But yes, he was in the Navy during Pearl Harbor.
Yep.
He was a pretty sick dude if you read about him. Cuba Gooding Jr. played him in the movie.
Gotcha.
I think.
Nice. Yeah, that is pretty unique because, I mean, yeah, so for... people who did not do History Day, or did not do it our year. Our year's very unhelpful and broad topic was a famous person in history. That's it. Mm-hmm. That was all the guidance you got. Mm-hmm. Pick a famous person in history and just do a project about them in the category of your choosing. mm-hmm. Nice.
So I chose a not actually famous, but still a really cool person.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it was technically famous or if it was notable or whatever phrasing they used, but it's always stuck in my brain as a famous person in history.
That's what I remembered too.
Okay. So. Yeah. I did George Washington Carver. So
Peanut butter?
Peanut butter. Actually, more soybeans than peanut butter, but that's your fun fact for the day.
Hot dog.
Yeah.
Or wiener dog.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I can definitely see the mechanical side of you coming out in a competition.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if this were a thing, like if I were to be a third, like a fly on the wall, seeing you do something in a legitimate competition, I could definitely see you, especially given certain people around you, depending on who you were working with, really ramping it up above a 4.5 to 5.
Maybe.
I think you're underselling yourself. I think if it was like in a friendly competition, maybe, but depending on the people around you and how competent they may be, I could see things changing.
So I think the reason that I put myself as low as a 4.5 to 5.5 for those types of situations is because I feel like in the competition, most of my like drive and passion to win the competition isn't necessarily out of like a urge to win, but more of like a... excitement to do the process, if that makes sense. Because like if someone plays soccer real hard because they just love playing soccer and not because like they're trying to beat the other team, I wouldn't call them like competitive. I just call them like excited.
Yeah, I agree.
And I feel like that's more of where my I don't know how to describe, like, get up and go about it and like kind of doing more than I probably should or would need to. Would come from.
That's fair. And yeah, I think that is a good point with competitiveness, especially because I remember it was I was watching an interview with Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal, and the way that they always described the way that they are competitive is not that they, in particular, that they love winning more than they like hate losing, but not even that they hate losing, but that they hate not winning. Like, the drive is not to avoid losing. It is to, like, achieve winning as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is, like, a slightly different framing that I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of ways to sort of avoid, like, doing mental gymnastics to avoid losing. In a sense, like, you guys getting third place.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You avoided losing, in a certain sense. And you're happy with that. But if your goal was really to win... then, like, you wouldn't be satisfied there. Grant has brought Drabble by Kevin Fagan. And we have a young man sitting at a table with a pile of books in front of him. He's reading one, and probably his dad, in quite the shirt, quite the floral type shirt, is standing behind him asking, "What subject are you studying, Norm?" And Norm looks up and says, "Politics." And the father says, "That will be useful in life." And then as he is walking away, sort of rolling his eyes, he thinks to himself, "Especially if your kid's playing Little League."
We're going to have a choose your own adventure here tonight, Mark.
To Mark Knight.
To Mark Knight. This is a bad evening. We should just be done. Do you want Norm or do you want children's sports?
Oh, obviously I want children's sports.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Norm. First of all, the name Norm. No, I'm kidding.
Norm McDonald, one of the funniest people ever.
Is he?
I'll send you another YouTube video. We can watch this after we're done recording. Okay. But you can keep talking.
Okay. Well, so this is less of a question than just a statement. That's going to be a bold statement, and feel free to agree or disagree with me, and I'm curious to see. Parents who do more than cheer at moderate volumes only when their team is doing well or does something good, parents who at like youth sports games do anything other than that are some of the worst people in the world. Hands down.
I'm going to take the mathematician approach and rule out the parents who are also calmly coaching, because anyone who's coaching is definitely doing more than that, but that doesn't mean that they're bad people.
Okay, I'm gonna
spectator parents, are we focusing on that?
Well, when you're saying calmly coaching, do you mean people who their title is either coach or assistant coach?
Yeah,
because that is an important distinction, because there are often parents coaching.
I know, but yes, I'm referring to those who have an official title and responsibility as deemed appropriate by the league running the sports.
Okay.
Some of those can also be awful people, but yeah, I'm just saying let's focus on spectators then. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think I would agree. You know, I'm sure every sport has its sort of hierarchy of what is considered more acceptable. I know that your experience is mainly with soccer.
Mm-hmm. It
drives a certain type of person. I think Aaron, growing up, her main experience spectating with parents was hockey. I know Aaron also played tennis as well. I don't really know what the tennis scene is like, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it could get bad, but I think it's also hard when you have like 8 courts wide at a high school to really spectate properly. And for me, it was obviously baseball. And so I think among all those sports, you get a slightly different clientele and different ways of talking, really? And different people to direct your comments at, I think.
Huh.
Well, okay, first of all, with hockey, it can definitely get way worse before it becomes what's considered problematic. Like, it definitely gets way rowdier at a hockey game at all age levels.
Maybe.
And people would be less likely to bat an eye at that. And with soccer, I think youth soccer, I feel like you are still pretty likely to get not particularly old referees managing the games, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of like authority figures, it's it may be harder for, let's say, you as a high school man dealing with obnoxious parents, right? I mean, I'm sure that you had success. I'm just saying that, let's say, in general, for some referees, it may be harder to do that.
But that doesn't change how bad that doesn't have any effect on how, like...
I know. I am agreeing with you on the parent thing. I'm just interested in the dynamic between parents that are really obnoxious and the people who have any supposed authority to do anything about it, which would be, like, actual referees or officials of some way of the game.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm talking about like the level of rowdiness that's acceptable, the acceptability comes down to either there are other parents in the crowd willing to do something about it, Very occasionally a kid who just goes off on their own parent, which is funny when it happens, or a referee that's able to do something about it, right?
Well, I disagree that that should dictate the level of rowdiness that's acceptable, but okay.
Well, again, acceptability is all, it's all relative to some standard.
Yeah, a standard that I objectively set because I'm the final arbiter of what's okay in the world.